And we're gone.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Sunday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, and we are at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky at the Rolex three-day event.
And I'm Jamie Jennings. You're listening to the April 29th edition, episode 392. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, Jamie. We don't have to get to say it's Sunday morning and we're chatting.
You know, when you said that, I was like, you know, kind of like, I can't believe we're working on a Sunday morning, number one. And number two, it's Sunday already? Where did this week go? I'm so bummed.
Yeah.
I want to do it over again.
Yesterday was an exciting day. We're going to talk a lot about that this morning. We had a thrilling day here. One like I quite haven't seen before.
I've been coming to Rolex for 15 years at least, and I have never, ever seen anything like what we saw on the cross-country course yesterday. So we're going to have to get you guys all caught up on that if you haven't already heard. It was just an absolutely crazy day. But before we get into the eventing thing, I've got my daily Lexington Herald leader update because it's a Sunday paper. And what we've been talking about...
I lived here for 3 years, and I don't think I looked at this paper once.
It's so exciting to be in Kentucky because, okay, here we go. This just goes to show you what a horse country, what horse-centric city this is that you look here, and there's an article that about the difficult course that conquers veterans, and there's a photo of Holly Hudspeth almost falling into the water jump. Then you've got on the next... sports cover, A Talent to Defy History. It's a story about a racehorse, and there's a whole story underneath that about a jockey. And I wanted to also point out that on the front page, and Jennifer, we're emailing this to you because I want you to post it on Facebook. I want you to look at this picture. It's a window advertisement. Glenn, do you see anything wrong with this jockey sitting on a horse with Rose's photo? Do you see anything that grabs you immediately?
Well, there's no saddle?
Yeah, it's a jockey sitting on a horse, and it says, and the winner is, and it's a jockey sitting on a horse with roses draped over the lap. Do you notice anything about the horse? It's a Frisian.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he's riding, it's a jockey draped in roses sitting on a Frisian, bridleless and saddleless, and it's a window advertisement, and this is the front freaking page of the paper. So we're going to post that on Facebook because I found it very entertaining.
Almost looks like a walking horse, actually.
What? I mean, who sits on the Frisian for a jockey advertisement? It's ridiculous. Front page. And then I would also like to point out that one of the most fun liquor stores in all of Kentucky. The Liquor Barn. And the advertisement for the Liquor Barn is the heads of horses that are coming across the finish line for racing. So the Liquor Barn is even involved in the horse advertisements. God, I love this city. I do. So we're posting that on Facebook because you have to see the photo of the jockey mounted on the bridleless and saddleless Frisian that has just won the Kentucky Derby.
They couldn't get permission to use any of the real pictures.
Apparently,
they couldn't get permission to use a thoroughbred either.
So, yeah, entertaining, for sure. Well, oh. You didn't even notice that when I had you take that picture, did you, Nancy? Yeah. The Frisian that won the Derby. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, yesterday was the cross-country day here at the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. And cross-country day is the biggest day for crowds, and the crowds were here yesterday.
Yeah.
They said there was 20,000 here. And it was actually, the weather turned out to be a beautiful day, especially for the horses. It wasn't too hot. It actually got a little warmer in the afternoon. But I walked around with Jamie and gang Jamie and Chad and everybody, Nancy and everybody for the first half of the day, and we saw the first half of the course. We saw almost all the jumps in the first half of the course.
You had a mouse in your pocket? You ditched me at the lunch break.
Yeah, lunch break I ditched them.
We saw the whole course, Glenn.
I went up and watched them on the TVs. There's these big TVs up in the media center. So I saw more of the course than you did, actually.
Well, you know, it was just such a crazy, crazy course that when we walked it, some of the places that riders were having trouble, we tried to kind of go back to those spots. And we actually ended up sitting in the infield watching the TV and being able to watch basically all of the jumps that were in the infield, including the Normandy Bank, which gave a lot of people trouble, and also including the god-awful Coffin Complex, 9 A, B, and C, just ridiculous. You know, so many people had trouble there. And if you just you look at the standings on this, I've never seen people move around so much like I did this time. 54 starters, 21 horses jumped without jump penalties. 10 horses had one stop. One horse had two stops. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many horses were eliminated? I'm just going to make the count
well,
right here.
Yeah, let me see here. I do have that here.
15 eliminated. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 retired. 4 withdrawn. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. And if you notice, you know, to start out the day, you never even saw Buck Davidson ride. Apparently, he's had a shoulder injury for quite some time, and they were the doctor finally told him, "Dude, you can't go out there and ride. It's not going to be safe." So he didn't even get started. For an update on our friend Barb Cravo, she had two stops, but she finished the course. And if you remember when we had her on the Rolex preview, all she wanted to do was to finish. So congratulations to them. We talked a little bit about the horse Sal Dolly yesterday, who had the most unfortunate dressage ride of all time. She actually finished clear, had some time penalties, but moved from 57th, dead last, all the way up to 25th. So just by having a clear round or no jump penalties, she moved that much. You know, the top 10 leaderboard right now, of course, we have Park Lane Hawk and William Fox Pitt sitting in first place. Arthur and Allison Springer had a couple time penalties, but she made it through the brush fences at the end and took the long route. So she had some time, but she did not fall like she did last year there. So much better. Jonathan Padgett from New Zealand and Clifton Promise in third. Boyd went from 16th to 4th on Otis. Just an incredible round. Karen is sitting in 5th with Mr. Medicott. Twizzle and Will Coleman are in 6th. R.F. Demeter and Marilyn Little Meredith. And then you've got Boyd again with Remington. He went from 6th to 8th, had some time penalties. Kwanzaa and Ravano Rex with Andrew Nicholson and Meredith, again, have two horses in the top 10. Just an absolutely amazing day. We're actually sitting here with Darren right now. What did you think about the course yesterday?
You know, it's amazing as you walk around, you listen to people saying, oh, my God, it took its toll. I think that if you looked at the statistics, it is normal at a four-star competition for 30% of the field to not finish. So to me, it was pretty normal results. What I enjoy most about this course designer, Derek, is he's really great at asking the questions without people really understanding what he's done. You know, that coffin, when I walked, I knew that was going to be a very influential fence. up to that point, you had barely had to really communicate with your horse. You know, very open galloping, getting a horse, his confidence going, and getting him into his rhythm, which is great. But then all of a sudden you have one of the most difficult complexes on the course, so it really caught people off guard. That type of coffin where the first rails, you land going downhill, that forces your horse to really look down into that ditch. So a lot of horses jump ditches all the time, but the looking down in them is
a
little...
So many of them spook.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even when they circle back around to go past it to hit the alternate and the option, they were spooking sideways looking at it after they'd already gone over it.
Yeah. The downhill approach to a ditch makes it a very, very different fence. And with that very technical out, so even if they got the A and B done, but landed...
Explain that for our listeners who don't understand eventing a lot, the technical out. Explain what that means.
Oh, the technical... So there was a very skinny jump on the way
We're
up.
We're talking 4 foot wide.
If that.
With the brush.
With the way the brush was trimmed out, it was barely enough room for the body of the horse to fit between
the flags. When you
look at
the pictures, that's the way it looked. It looked like the flags on either side were hitting the horse's sides. I mean, it was that close.
And I think in some of the pictures I saw, the brush is brushing against the rider's feet or shoulders of the horse. So it was that tight a spot and set on a little bit of an angle. So that would be a difficult jump on the flat. I mean, if you were just preparing for that jump. So let alone having landed over the A and B element of the coffin. So when horses came in a little sticky and kind of added the step and hopped over, now you've got this horse who's in a bit of a heap two strides before this very technical fence. And that's why if they made the AB, the C then was the next determining factor. I think that for my eye, Will Coleman gets the star. He did a great job there. You as I said to a couple fellow competitors, you can't ride that hard enough. I mean, and the riders who came around the turn really riding proved that that's what the jump required. Those who came a little cautious, thinking they're going to overbalance their horse or kind of pick at it, it just didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. It was just that we sat there for quite some time. I was like, I'm not leaving until I see somebody get through this thing. Mm-hmm. And I think Will Coleman was the first one that we saw. I'm like, okay, we can go now.
We do want to add, though, we talk about how many, you know, eliminations there were, how many runouts there were, how many penalty points there were. But overall, we had healthy horses and healthy riders at the end of yesterday.
Absolutely.
That, by far, this was a technical course, but it turned out to be a safe course for the riders.
Absolutely. And I think we've moved away from the days that, you know, it just was a bit of a trend that we were going to separate them out with very square jumps and things that, you know, we're all human. We make mistakes. Why should the horse have to pay for that? So
right.
I think that is the type of penalty we should be seeing in the sport. Whoops, you know, little drive-by, because it still separates, as they say, the men from the boys without causing the injury to horse or rider.
Well, you say separating the men from the boys. You know, what's tough is that you see eliminations and names like Becky Holder, Karen O'Connor, Lainey Ashker, the names go on and on, and these are the men. Those are usually the men.
Well, believe me, I've been there. We all have a bad day, and it's just a moment. You know, it's just one awkward moment can be the end of the competition for you. And in this competition, because this is quite hinged to selections for London,
right.
Pretty devastating. If you have a little problem, your Olympic dream is done.
Okay.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back with Lindsay and Darren Chacha some more here. Lindsay White is here as well from Riders for Helmets, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And first, Jet, we're going to break for one of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Molly here from Bit of Britain, and I would like to tell you about our first ever Chase the Challenge Kentucky edition. Literally, chase the clues around the trade fair, Rolls, Kentucky this year in order to be entered to win over $1,000 worth of prizes. Pick up your daily entry in the Bit of Britain tent and chase the clues around in order to be entered to win this huge prize. You've got three ways to play. Use your smartphone at the Bit of Britain tent to scan the day's QR code in order to access the entry form online. Or plug in your answers at one of our entry kiosks in the Bit of Britain tent. Lastly, pick up one of the limited number of paper entries and drop it back at the Bit of Britain tent. Here is your very first clue. You will find the answers within our
updated
sponsors.
I think this is Barb.
Some of the sponsors include Horse Radio Network, Charles Owen, Farnham, Neutrina, The Chronicle of the Horse, Nunn Finer, Horsewear Ireland, Tread Step, Kid Air, and Myler Bit. So don't miss out, and we'll see you at Rolex this year.
How do you refresh?
And we're back here at the Kentucky Rolex three-day event here at the Lexington in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Kentucky Horse Park. And we have with us an old friend of ours, Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets, with Darren Chacha sitting there as well. Thank you for commentary earlier there. Now, Lindsay, I can tell you can close down. You're having an incredible giveaway this weekend. Now, how you put this together, I don't know. But you can take the iPad off as a giveaway item because I signed up and I'm winning that. So that's already a given. But you do have 50 helmets you're giving away.
See, that's the difference between men and women is I'd rather have the helmet.
I'd rather have the iPad.
Yeah, no, we're really excited. It's the two-year anniversary, actually, now of the Riders for Helmets campaign. And where 2 years have gone, I have no idea. But in honor of the two-year anniversary, we approached all the helmet manufacturers and said, you know, can you kind of donate some helmets, and we do something special at Rolex to celebrate our anniversary. And I was really so excited at the generosity of the manufacturers. We have 50 helmets over there. We have pretty much every brand that's on the U.S. market, totaling $10,000 of helmets that we're actually giving away. And the giveaway, actually, I want to point out, doesn't just end at Rolex. It actually goes on through Sunday, May 6th at midnight Eastern Standard Time. So you can actually go to Riders for Helmets, the number 4, and then helmets.com. And you'll see a giveaway page on there, and you can actually register online for the giveaway as well.
How many riders, you know, to be honest, I didn't really notice, how many riders were riding with helmets during dressage this year?
It was more than half. And
really?
That's pretty exciting.
Oh, wow.
'Cause two years ago, I believe it was just Alison Springer. And then last year, I think there was 13 riders, because somebody's been keeping tabs on the statistics for me, and I think it was about half this year. So that's pretty exciting. Even Philip Dutton had a helmet on as well. So
you had a very famous dressage rider that hit all of the Facebook pages last week with her very snazzy gold helmet on that really made news.
Yeah, well, actually, what most people don't know is that actually started back in December. So we actually mentioned on the Riders for Helmets website that Isabel actually started to
that's
wear...
Isabel Earth.
Yep, Isabel Wirth actually started to wear a UVAX helmet back in December, but people are only just really becoming aware of it now. So it's so exciting, and we actually honored her in January at the third Helmet Safety Symposium with a Helmet Hero of 2011 award, because we just thought that was fantastic. So, yeah, so that's huge. I mean, such a role model for the sport. So.
And, you know, when I was at your Helmet Symposium a couple of years ago, one of the things we talked about is we have to make helmets stylish and make them the thing that people want to wear.
Yep.
And that helmet she was wearing, you know, was not an ordinary black helmet. It was stylish. And
it was gold.
Yeah, it was gold. Yeah, exactly.
It was bright, yeah. And I think the other thing...
It matched your outfit, too. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the other important thing is we need role models as well. And obviously we have Darren Chachar here, Olympic event rider and Olympic medalist. And Darren has been a huge advocate for the Riders for Helmets campaign. He obviously suffered a traumatic,
well, I was gonna say,
traumatic
also,
brain injury himself.
Also tested one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's fantastic that the people like Darren, people like Courtney King, you know, are really getting behind the campaign, showing so much support. And at the end of the day, it's the youth coming through that are looking to those guys as role models. And, you know, to every rider that wore a helmet in the dressage at Rolex, I would just like to say a big thank you, because I think they truly are great role models.
What's it going to take, Darren, to get the universal, to get it 100%?
Well, I believe it should come from above. I think that responsibility lies on the Federation in our rules. I hope that will come down sooner rather than later. At the end of the day, when people want to hang on to the tradition, I understand that. But at the same time, all things evolve. You know, if you look at sports equipment across the board, it has changed. Driving automobiles has changed. I mean, I'm not sure that we had seatbelts in the cars when we were kids, or they were cut out or something. And now look at the airbags we have, you know.
We used to sit in lawn chairs in the back of the van. I mean,
exactly.
Climb in the back window.
Yeah.
Oh,
we used to
awesome.
Lay up there.
Yeah.
But as we learn more and we gather data, and there are such technological advances, wouldn't we be silly to not take advantage of them? And so I don't have any patience for that argument. The other argument that I find actually quite irritating is, well, I'm a grown-up and it's my head and I'll do what I want. And to that person, I always say, well, let me give you the phone numbers of my family, because nobody suffers a brain injury alone. And that it has such far-reaching consequences. It absolutely affects everyone in your life. And so the day of my accident, my life didn't just stop. My entire family stopped. I mean, they were so uprooted, they came to stay with me where I was in Tallahassee, and, you know, more than a month of their life was away from their families and their jobs and their careers, not to mention my staff at home. And it is just incredibly far-reaching. So I think that attitude and comment is so selfish, because when you, should you, have an unfortunate event like that in your life, it affects everyone around you.
Yeah, and I actually want to add to that as well, because Lyndon Gray kind of, you know, reiterated what Darren said at the symposium in January, and she said, it's not just you. If you make the decision, and I think she had a very good point, that you don't want to wear a helmet, A, have you asked your family if they mind being your caregivers? And B, do you have $1.5 to $3 million? Because that's actually the average cost of TBI rehabilitation, which is shocking to me.
Courtney Ging-Dye will tell you that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the medical bills are astronomical. They really are.
Well, I've said this all along. You know, Darren will agree with me here. And I'm going to pat her on the back because she hates being patted on the back. Lindsay was a one-woman crusade to get Riders for Helmets started. And look at what one person can do in this world.
Still, the difference one person can make is always amazing. And I think that we're so far into it now. Like I said, I think that if we get the support of the Federation at some point, we're seeing the Western disciplines changing. And what you were saying earlier is such a good point about making helmets stylish. You know, we're always trying to encourage young people to the sport. And when you look at what they have available in snowboarding and skateboarding, all that stuff. Where
bicycles,
all these kind of cool helmets and different things. And to be able to express their personality and have a little fun with it, that should be embraced and not discouraged.
Speaking of expressing personality, Darren, what is this camouflage coat that you're wearing? You just about disappeared when you put
it
on.
He's bright orange. He looks like a traffic cone today, actually.
In a way, it is. It's actually through another contact of Lindsay's, a line that's for pretty much in England, hacking is done down the road. One, because of land availability, and because the poor footing of a big chunk of the winter months. So this way, you're able to get the attention of motorists.
Safety attire.
Yes.
So I love it. Everybody head to the Riders for Helmets booths if you're here at Rolex. And where can everybody find you?
We are on the upper part of the indoor arena nearest the end of the barns. So you can't miss it. You just look for the reflective jackets.
Darren.
Yeah, just look for Darren, the bright orange cone. So ridersforhelmets.com,
mm-hmm.
And the four is the number four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very
thanks
good.
Thanks so much,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Darren.
Thanks,
we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break here, Jennifer, for a commercial, and then we're coming back. You know how we love to do the segment here on Horses in the Morning called Things That You'll Never Own. Well, we have something that somebody we're going to talk to about one of those items very shortly.
Now that spring is here and the flush of rich pastures encourages voracious grazing, it's a good time to review your horse's diet. Kentucky Performance Products offers a range of supplements for your horse, including Microphase, which is designed to balance your horse's diet and ensure he gets all the nutrients he needs to stay healthy. Unfortified grains often lack certain vitamins and minerals. Horses and ponies on low-grain diets may not eat enough of a fortified feed to fulfill their vitamin and mineral needs. Adding Microphase to the diet ensures that you're providing the correct amounts of vitamins and trace minerals to their diet. All this without adding unwanted calories, too. You can find out more about Microphase and all of Kentucky Performance Products' nutritional supplements by visiting kppusa.com or calling 1-800-772-1988. And be sure to join KPP's Facebook fan page to interact with their experts.
And we're back at the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. And what's going on right now here and what's happening today is right now there's a vet inspection going on where the horses get inspected after the cross country, and we determine whether they're capable and healthy enough to ride the stadium course today. So today there'll be a stadium jumping course that starts at 1:30. I want to tell everybody at home you can watch it at usef.org, or NBC is actually carrying it on NBC's main station, NBC Sports, at 2 to 3 o'clock today. You'll see the end of the show jumping.
It's at 1:30?
Starts at 12:30. 12:30.
Yeah.
It starts at 12:30, and then 2 o'clock is when NBC picks up the coverage on NBC Sports. So
they're
going to
really have to take their time.
Yeah, well, they'll drag it out.
There's a couple horses that did not pass inspection.
Oh, really?
Our internet actually is too slow to sit here and look at it. I know that I'm sitting here with a nervous tummy hoping that Barb and Everready make it through, but already Slate River and Heather Morris, sadly, Heather was on our show, you know, Friday talking about just trying to get through Rolex, and Slate River and Heather Morris were pulled, so they are out of the competition. Also, Michael Pollard and Icarus have been held and then withdrew. So definitely have two and still waiting on getting the updates. But
and Everready was sent to the hold box. What that means is that they'll take a second look at the horse then?
Yeah, the jog is that they get all dressed up and they jog the horse down a really hard road. And if there's any unsoundness at all, the vets will say, okay, you're being held. You need to go over here or you'll get passed. Pass. They carry on, go get dressed, and go have fun. So he's being held for reinspection. So we'll keep you guys up to date on all of this with the jog as soon as my stupid internet connection starts.
I know, mine's failing us too here. Okay, so we have our next guest with us here. Tom, is it Stinnett?
Stinnett, correct.
Well, we do a segment, Tom, on the show about once a month. It's called Things That You'll Never Own. And you have one of those things that I will probably never own, but a lot of people do, and it is just, when you're talking about hauling your horse in the epitome of luxury, you're talking about Equine Motor Coach. And you guys, everybody that's been to one of the events that you've been at with one of your rigs has been through this thing and has just drooled. And I know Jamie owns three of these already. So,
motor coaches, I'm going to tell you what, I went in and took a nap in that thing yesterday. You talk about it, oh, yeah, it's great, it's really for your horses. Don't lie.
Oh,
that
yeah, these are the luxury for horses and riders. So tell us about Equine Motor Coach.
Well, the nice thing about Equine Motor Coach, you can kind of do it all in one. One vehicle gives you luxurious accommodations for your horses as well as for you and your staff or your people or your family.
We're talking redwood, we're talking leather sofas and fancy bathrooms, and this looks like it would be in the most beautiful, expensive house you would ever see.
Well, you know, our customers tell us they kind of want to have that home feeling away from home. And
I wish my home looked like this, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, in this vehicle, wherever you go, you're always at home. It has a big slide-out inside, which creates a large area, a large space area. We have home-style appliances in it, in the back for the horses. We have a lot of innovative features. Probably the one that gets the most attention is the hay pod that is recessed into the roof and actually has a tray that lowers down electrically that you put your hay in, and then you hit the button and it goes into the roof, and so you don't have to schlep the hay up on top anymore.
That's pretty cool.
That's
it has a hay elevator.
My husband just perked up. He wants that. Throwing the hay on top of the on anything sucks.
They got his attention, right?
Yeah,
right.
Sure did.
Well, from the hydraulic ramp in the back, which is really easy to operate, and the way we have the gate set up, and we custom build as well. We kind of our coaches. We have about six different models: 2-horse to 6-horse. And whatever the customer wants, I always tell them if it makes engineering sense, I'll go ahead and do it. So we're somewhat of a custom builder, and if there's a special need, we'll do that. We have a lady right now that's talking to us about putting a ramp inside of it and making it a little bit wider in areas so that she can get through in a wheelchair, and we can do that as well.
I'll tell you what, and the other thing is from the outside, they just look cool as all get out.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just cool.
Well, they're
sleek. They look like something Darth Vader would be driving. You know, it's just cool looking.
The Freightliner chassis is a significant piece of equipment in its own right. It's a dual drive axle. It is almost a 60,000-pound gross weight vehicle.
Wow.
That means that you can carry up to 16,000 pounds. So even if you have 4 horses in there and you use up 6,000 pounds, you still have 10,000 pounds you could carry. So it's not an issue, and with the air ride, air suspension, air brake, it floats down the road. Your horse will never get a better ride than they get in an Equine Motor Coach.
Okay, now the big question everybody's wondering. Starting at?
$470,000.
Come on, Jamie.
Now,
Dad, where are you? Where's the checkbook?
That's starting. So how awesome does it get?
Well,
come on.
We really haven't built any coaches that are over about 5 1/4.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking $1 million.
Because we're building them with everything
they look like
in them already.
Bucks.
It's just
right.
a matter of, do you want a 2-horse with a bedroom? The bedrooms are a little more expensive because you got a lot of woodwork to do. It's a lot more expensive to build woodwork and the people area.
I mean, if you're going to do it, don't go cheap.
No.
Get all of it.
No, yeah. No. You don't want to do that. So it's a wonderful product, and we invite everybody to come and take a look at it and visit our website.
I'm taking a look at it. You have to go in and walk through it. I mean, that's just a requirement. And
please.
I was there yesterday, and the people that were walking through it, I mean, the comments... You must get some bizarre comments when people are going through that thing.
Oh, we do. We do. You know, it's funny. I've been selling a lot of RVs for 32 years. So I've been in the RV business, but I've never had a product where I've never had a naysayer. You know, I mean, we have a product out there that everybody that comes in just loves it and has positive comments about it. And
wishes they could afford it.
And wishes they could afford it. But there are people who can't afford it, and we're doing very well, and we're grateful for that.
Well, and I know that I heard from your compadre yesterday that it's been a good show for you guys. So
it has. It's been a very good show.
Well, that's terrific, and we're so glad you stopped by. Another thing that you will never own, Jennifer will put a link to Equine Motor Coach on our Facebook page. It's actually at equinemotorcoach.com, and you can see pictures there. If you have not looked at these before, I follow you guys on Facebook, so I see updates and things. And people send pictures of their Equine Motor Coach at shows, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
But if you haven't seen these before, stop by and take a look. Put this on the wall as your goal.
Right. Friend us up on Facebook, because we're always coming up with new innovations. And I tell you, the most important thing is, when we're showing a coach at these shows, are the ideas that we get from the people who look at the coach. And we've incorporated a number of those ideas and made the coach even better.
All right, good.
It's amazing.
Well, if you could make
beautiful.
It so I could watch dressage from inside the coach, I'd appreciate that. That'd be terrific.
Well, we were doing that. You know, we had the live feed going on in there the
See?
Last couple of days.
You're in. You're buying.
We put a camera on top pointing towards the dressage ring at a smaller show.
I got you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate you stopping by. EquineMotorCoach.com.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, do we have updates on what's going on out there?
Yeah. You know, it's just always tough. These four stars really take their toll. And
did Eveready get booted?
Yeah, Eveready was
just
didn't pass the jog. Didn't pass the jog. I mean,
this is Barb Crabo, Jamie's coach.
Yeah, sadly. And then Meredith, so hard for me to say, withdrew her horse that was standing in 10th place, RF Ravano
really?
Rex.
Wow.
Withdrew, and I believe Manolo Blahnik with Sarah Kuzumblik. I don't know how to say her last name either. She withdrew before. And horses that did not pass inspections with Icarus, with Michael Pollard, again, Heather Morris with Slate River, and Barb Crabo with Eveready. So it is very, very sad. That kind of sucks.
Well,
I'm leaving.
As you said, the...
I'm out of here.
I know. It's a bummer, and Barb worked so hard to get through cross country yesterday.
I know. She really rode the hell out of that course. And if you know, that's the thing, is if you did finish that course yesterday, you have something to be proud of. It was just not an easy ride, not an easy course. So definitely should pat yourself on the back just getting through it.
Well, we run into this gentleman occasionally when we hop out to shows. And we always have to get him on the air because we love when he stops by and chats with us for a little bit. And he joins us regularly once a month on Horses in the Morning for a nutrition update. But I don't know that we're talking nutrition today, are we?
Oh, no, this is feel good today.
Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha. Hi, Doc.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jamie. As I was saying, this is a feel good day. I mean, it's great to be here at Rolex. I mean, great things are happening, as Jamie pointed out earlier on. To finish that course yesterday, you got to pat yourself on the back, because I saw so many people withdraw the horses. It was a hard course.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it really was. It was 4-star all the way.
Yeah, this was one of the more difficult ones, I would think.
Yeah.
I've never seen, I mean, all my years coming here, not to say that I'm coming here every year for the last X number of million years. I'd be dating myself if I said that. But all the years I've come, I think this is one of the ones where I've seen the most scratches. I don't know if that's in the history books anywhere, but
Well, that's the great thing about it is there weren't many wrecks. It was just people not able to technically navigate the course. I mean, the one horse that did have a fall, it was kind of sad, was a guy from California who was just at Galway with us, and it was James Alliston and his horse that was, let's see, eliminated, because he's got two, Parker and James Alliston. And what happened, it was a crazy story. I talked to somebody who was sitting there, as they just basically flipped over the first fence. The horse went down, actually on top of James. Thank God for .2 air vest.
Air vest went off all day yesterday.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, I'm sure it saved his life because the horse fell on him. It took a minute for them to get the horse up. They get the horse up, they get him up, you know. The horse actually walked onto the trailer, and it's fine now.
Yeah.
The horse is fine, the rider's fine, you know, obviously
that's
just
great.
A little bit bummed. But, you know, as far as horse crashes, that was it.
Yeah, a number of riders fell off, but most of the falls were, I hate to say this, they were almost fairly gentle. You know, they went off and the airbag
they
popped.
They were gentle compared to some of
the airbag popped and they worked. Karen O'Connor came off in the water. She was the only one, I think, that came off in the water.
Yeah, got some wet britches.
She got wet, and her airbag, she almost floated at the top there.
Yeah.
So she was fine and, you know, got right up. Everybody got right up.
Yeah, they sure did. So it was that was definitely a good part of it. But how is the trade show for Omega Alpha over there? You guys are schlepping product right and left.
Oh, well, it's always a good place to be. We have a lot of people come over. We're not selling at our trade booth. We're here to promote the product line. People come over. We chat with them and ask them, well, what's wrong with your horse? If we have something that we can give you to sample to try it out, you know, that will work for your horse.
Right.
More than happy to give you a sample, you know.
One of the products I heard a lot about yesterday, and a couple people mentioned to me, was the Biotic 8. I think the Biotic 8 is really making headway into the training, into the competitors' barns.
Yeah, and you know what? To teach people about prevention, it's always a hard sell. But with Biotic 8, when people use the Biotic 8, they really see a big difference in their horse's conditioning, right? And no matter how nice you think your horse is, one Biotic 8, your horse, the shine just comes through, right? And so as a preventative, that's a wonderful thing to be able to see.
That's
some of that.
The stuff that I put Jet on, my thoroughbred, and it changed him.
And I heard you're putting him into the first competition when?
No, he's already been competing, my friend.
Oh.
We've been doing pretty well.
That
I mean, finishing, so that's good. But he's moving up to training level in July. I say that, and I can't even believe that I say that, Glenn.
Wonderful.
It's shocking. But
all things being considered, what he looked like prior to.
I know, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, because I think he was a rescue horse, if I remember correctly, wasn't
he? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the one that was a bag of bones. So
really
in
bad shape.
I really felt like the Biotic 8 really kind of put him back in order, like sorted him out a little
bit. Dr. Chang, we have to interrupt you 1 minute, because somebody was just walking by that is a favorite here on the Horse Radio Network, and that's Olympian Gina Miles.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm super. Yourself?
Good. So you've been running around having some fun this weekend?
I have been, yeah. Having a great time.
Now, after watching yesterday, did it make you want to be out there, or were you going?
Oh my God. I just couldn't hardly contain myself walking the course. I'm like, where's my horse? I want to jump. I went on one of the course walks with the sponsors, with the Rolex sponsors, and so we're talking about the course, walking up to the jumps, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure some of them were thinking, why would any crazy person jump these fences? But I'm thinking, go get me a horse!
Well, you have some competing.
I did get to ride, remember, I did get to rain last night.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was fantastic. Those reining horses are so much fun. Really cool.
Are you
cool.
Switching now?
Well, no, but I wouldn't mind having one on the side.
You'd like the outfit too, don't you?
Yeah. I did have a really cute outfit. Yeah. That's good.
Who won that, by the way?
Oh, my goodness. Was it Pete Kyle? Pete
Kyle.
Really?
Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. Well, we're going to look for you in that cowboy hat and those boots now.
Oh, I wore a helmet.
Oh, did you?
No cowboy hats for me. I wore my helmet.
Oh.
Of course.
Thank you for representing there.
Riders for helmets. Yeah.
I think if I was riding a reining horse, I'd want a bodysuit, too. I mean,
They do stop so hard. And the horse that I was riding had really good stops. And so, and I'd gotten, so it would take up a little more speed. And boy, when they hit the brakes that first stride, I mean, it's every bit like dropping into the water and hitting that, you know, that water super hard. So you definitely have to get braced and prepared for it. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I think all those reiners should be in helmets too.
Now, give a shout out. Yeah, good luck with that. Give a shout out to whose horse were you riding?
I was riding, oh gosh, well, his name was Top Gun, Gunner. Yeah, so he was just a superstar.
Is that
yesterday.
McCutcheon's horse?
No, it was a local horse.
A local horse?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to shoot myself. I can't remember her name at the moment. But
you'll think of it.
Yeah, I'll think about it as soon as I walk away. But anyway, yeah, super, super horse, Top Gun. He was awesome.
And
yeah.
I heard the place was packed.
Yeah,
time.
It was packed. Yeah, it was fun. It was super. It was a lot of fun. So I'd rather
be
doing
job.
This today. But,
well, good job.
And she's doing a little
next
bit of shopping.
Yeah, I got to see bags over here.
Speaking of horses, though, I want to know, I saw you Galway Downs a couple weeks ago, and when are you going to be back at Rolex?
Oh, well, my new horse, so I have a fantastic 3-star horse that should be back in action here, probably by Rebecca Farm.
Okay.
So I'll aim her for a 3-star at Galway this fall, and then I'll go from there.
Yeah.
So eyes on the World Championships in
What's
2014.
What's the horse's name?
Her name is Chanel.
Chanel. Of course
Ooh.
It is.
Yes,
Number
Chanel.
Five.
She's beautiful. Beautiful. She came from Denmark with a Danish rider over there. So she's
nice.
Really nice. And then a whole bunch of 4 and 5-year-olds. So they just take a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. That's great, though. It's so fun I'm from the East Coast originally, and then now that I live out in Arizona and I'm competing, it's so fun. I'm like, that's 13 miles is in the next barn. Yeah.
Yeah, so cool.
So it's great.
Excellent.
Well, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
We want to see you here next year.
Yeah,
get that horse.
Bet.
Chanel.
Yeah,
right
Chanel.
Here.
All right.
All right,
you
thanks.
Guys. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, Gina. That was very nice. Well, let's take a quick break for a commercial, and we'll be right back. Standing ovation, Gina.
She's so cool, and she's so pretty all the time. Of course, she has a horse named Chanel. She's like always well dressed, put together. She's like, how is a horse chick that pretty and like put together and well dressed and makeup on and whatever? Makes you jealous.
I never thought of the air.
We're going to be right back here, Jennifer. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Chang.
Olympic event riders Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks have used their world-class experience when designing their range of saddlery. Southern Stars saddlery is designed by riders for riders and has proven results at all levels of competition. Their attention to detail and extensive product testing ensures its range is of the highest quality. Southern Stars saddlery is a family business built on the love of the sport and a passion for performance. Visit Southern Stars Saddlery at Rolex on stand 132 for show specials and package deals, or view the full range online at southernstarssaddlery.com.
Short too.
We're back here at the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, and we just have people walking by and stopping in this morning, and we have Rhonda, our listener from Canada, who stopped by the first day.
Hello.
Are you having fun?
I am. My feet are sore.
Are they?
I
bet.
Look, I wore Crocs today. I couldn't wear my padding boots another day. I'm like, it's just terrible. Yeah, I had a blowout on the side of them walking so much.
Dr. Chang, fellow Canadian here.
Wonderful to see a fellow Canadian in down in the South.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Canadians come down for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big event. What did you think yesterday? You've seen Rolex. What did you think yesterday?
It was really neat. It was a lot more crowded than I actually expected. I expected it to be less crowded than WEG, and it wasn't.
No, there were a lot of people
it
here.
It was crazy, yeah. But it was really neat to see the big jumps, because I haven't been before.
Did you walk the course, the whole thing? Did you get around?
We started at jump one, and we got to 18 before lunch, and then we went and watched sat at the water and we couldn't move.
That's what most people
did. Once you actually like worm your way up to the front at the water jump because it's so packed, you're just like, forget it, I'll just stay.
Yep,
I'll
that's exactly
here.
What we did. Our feet were like, no.
Yeah, your dogs are barking.
Yeah.
And
you know, the weather was fantastic too.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean, but you know what? By Canadian standards, the weather has always fantastic,
yes.
No matter what time or how bad.
How y'all do that up there? My God, I can't live north of Well, Kentucky. Horrible.
You know, they're here in their light jackets, and everybody else is like bundled up. You know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. We're Canucks.
Yeah.
We're hot.
Oh, wait, Dr. Chang's going to be out there in a Speedo laying in the water jump.
Don't put outside in the image. That's a bad image.
It was great. But you guys, so what are the plans for today with you and the family when you leave? How long are you here for?
We are going to watch the jumping and then head straight out. We've got a hotel in Ohio tonight.
Oh, you're driving.
Yeah. Good Lord.
So am I.
Are you really?
Yeah, but I have to be home.
Y'all, do they not have airports in Canada?
They do, but because I'm schlepping so much stuff,
yeah.
That's unfortunate. But I have to be home tonight because I'm going to Paris tomorrow.
What? How are you going to get home tonight?
Holiday.
Are you on vacation, Dr. Chang?
To Paris.
Yeah, wow.
So, but I'm driving home tonight. Got to be home. Otherwise, my wife will not speak to me forever.
I see some five-hour energy drinks in Dr. Chang's future here.
When you're going to Paris, that's enough. He's going to be like,
you
rub it
French
up on his wife
that?
In a Paris cafe.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Do you speak French?
No.
No?
Un peu.
You see, I couldn't even say un peu.
I don't even know what that means.
A little.
A little. They taught us French for a few years in school, but...
Now, my parents were Canadian French, and my mom spoke French, my dad spoke French, and they always used the word Canuck, and they never would tell us what it was. And so as kids, we always thought it was the worst swear word ever in Canada, you know? We just thought that Canuck was awful.
No kidding.
What does it exactly mean? Stubborn Frenchman?
I don't know. I thought it was a word pronounced as Canuck.
Yeah, it's Canuck. It meant Canadian.
Yeah, we were told it meant stubborn Frenchman. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know.
Maybe the English people just don't know that part.
That's it. Yeah. That's an oxymoron, by the way.
Stubborn
Frenchman. Frenchman.
Well, thank you both for being here. It's Omega Alpha, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And Rhonda, thank you so much for stopping by again. We really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. It's nice to meet you both.
Well, it's good to meet you in person, and keep listening.
I will.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Bye, guys.
It.
If you need help unloading some product, you just tell me.
Yeah, if you don't want to take it all back
in.
With you, Jamie, I'll be happy.
I was told a lot of people want to help me take my baggage, be the baggage carrier in Paris, too.
Yeah, that was next. I'm going whether you like it or not.
All right, do we have any other updates here on what's going on?
Well,
right
just I was reading some of the quotes, Glenn, from the writers that
were... Oh, we have a couple of the play as well.
Okay, well, I don't know if you knew this, but Philip Dutton, how many times has Philip Dutton competed here at Rolex?
A million.
On a million horses. Do you know that his daughters have never seen him ride a Rolex?
Is that right?
The first time, he has twin daughters, Mary and Olivia, and they've never seen him compete at Rolex. I'm not quite sure how old they are, but that's just kind of cool, like, to be able to have your entire family here. So his wife and two daughters are here to watch him. So it's very cool. I love these quotes, though, because, my God, these people are crazy. Is it Boyd Martin? And talking about Otis, he's like, that was a bit easier this morning because it was cooler. You know, Otis is a bit of a green horse. There is no reason that you should say your horse is green if you're competing at advanced, two-star, three-star, four-star, whatever. The fact that he says his horse is green, come on, please. I'll show you a green horse.
By the way, Jennifer said that she was watching from home yesterday and that he actually went over and grabbed his daughters and gave them a great big hug. They're little.
Oh, Philip?
Yeah, they're little girls. He went over right at the end of the cross country, ran over and grabbed them, gave them a great big hug. So.
I want to know, Jennifer, too, did you see anybody hop off at the finish line and then blow up? Because that happens, too, obviously, with the air vest on.
Hey, we also have a couple of quotes here that I would like to play for you that we have prepared for you. The first one is from useventing.com. This is let me think about who we have. William Fox Pitt, who is leading the competition into today. His comments after he was done riding. And then, Jennifer, go ahead and play right away off of the Eventing radio show. Allison Springer had some very interesting comments as well. So we're going to play those for you right now, and we'll be back.
Here now with the current leader, William Fox Pitt, just completing your ride on Park Lane Hawk. Talk about that.
I mean, as I just said, thank God, because it's been a slow morning. And he is a superb horse, and it was just very important to remember that. And he's jumped around Bailey, he's jumped some good tracks, and I trust him. And then when you watch some good horses making mistakes, you think, oh crumbs, this is not looking good. But he lived up to all my expectations, gave me a superb ride, and did it very easily. I think that was the most exciting thing, is you come off a 4-star and you never know quite how they're going to be next time out. And he certainly answered all the questions today, and has given me even more confidence in him than I had before.
You've ridden at so many different 4-stars. How does Rolex compare to those?
Rolex is one of the top courses in the world. It's not by any means second to Bampton and Burley anymore. Stamped its own mark. It's got its own following, and it needs serious care and attention out there. As we saw today, the course walked well. As I felt, I thought there were a few tricks. I thought it wasn't as straightforward as perhaps it looked. Horses don't always see exactly what's coming up, and it certainly rode that way. So I mean, it was a big track, and it's been causing trouble. So it's really more than merited its 4-star status, and long may it continue, and long may we be able to come over and compete here, because for that we're very grateful to the UK sport and the lottery funding.
This was one of the hardest riding years, I'm not going to lie. Like, this is a much harder course than last year, and it didn't walk that way. But I'll tell you, when you start the day and Andrew Nicholson's walking home,
yes,
you
exactly.
know you're going to have a tough day. And I walked it this morning, had a lovely just little ride on him this morning. My horse, he's been so focused and really mature this year, and
yeah.
Walked the course. You know, I had my plan, and I just wanted to watch Andrew and a couple of the big names to begin and see them do it beautifully and keep that image in my mind. So that was a bit of a rough start to the day. But what I did know from watching the people, like, I had to stick to my plan and get it done. And it's cross country. It's not going to be perfect. And it wasn't perfect at the Coffin. And it wasn't perfect in the water. And it wasn't, not that he was bad, but things happen and you have to adjust your plan and just get it done. And what I loved about my horse today, he was so focused, and even coming at, he's so scopey and he's so straight. Even coming out of the Coffin, he never thought about running out or looking anywhere else. He was looking for the flags, and I have no idea why that Irish bank, the bounce bank towards the end, rode so hard for people this year. I've jumped it every year beautifully, and we railed that, and he kept looking ahead for the flags. He knew he was going to a corner, and, it's stayed in the tack and kept him straight, and he jumped it. I mean, it was a super, super partnership. So
you were amazing, because I know you had a couple of those just momentary rough seconds. But honestly, you rode those jumps so positive that honestly, by the time you were finished with the last element in the combination, you had forgotten about it because you were just so positive. Like, that was perfect.
Me.
I mean, you were great.
And that's cross-country riding. You know, that's what Phillips told me so many times. Is like, that's what good cross-country riding is. You can't, like, mistakes will happen, but you've got to be positive and put your hands down and kick them and go forward and then put the pass behind you and kick on.
Yeah, and when you say that, Alison, I thought from watching on the TV that you had an air of determination this year, like I am. Anywhere I'm going to get round with him, and I know where I'm going. He's mature enough. He's responsive. You just look like you've got that extra little bit of grit in your fire in your belly this year.
Yeah.
Did you feel that?
I felt that way, though. I will say I felt that way, though, last year. I think perhaps the difference is from last year to this year is a bit of maturity for both my horse and myself that comes from mistakes happening, because I honestly think my round last year was much more, like, it was much smoother. I think everything went according to plan except for where I hit the dirt. This year, yes, I was definitely so much more determined, because even when things go well, they can still not go well.
Yeah.
And so I was riding it, like, no matter what, we're going there. What I loved about my horse, I mean, people were, you got to love the spectators here, but I don't know, like, maybe people are just really wanting to see me get it done, but people were so loud.
Very supportive with you, I thought.
Very supportive, like all the gallop lanes. They were screaming, and my horse's ears were pricked. And I think he's to the point that it's like, wow, these people are here for me. I mean, he was a little freaked out after dressage when everyone kept screaming, but you could also kind of tell. He's like, this is kind of cool. Like, this is cool. So there's a little bit more maturity that just comes with experience. And unfortunately, experience, your best experience, isn't just everything going right. Like, you have to be prepared. Like, I need to be prepared for plan B, C, whatever it is. So
yeah, absolutely.
I love how
It was not my plan to put four in the head of the lake to the fish, but I knew the way I landed in, I needed, and I love how adjustable, how easy he was to, you know, he knew it. His eyes were looking ahead, and he was super.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I would love to have been able to hear those. We don't have headphones, so I'd love to make a comment on what they said, but I can't because I didn't hear it. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'm going to go back and listen. I have to go back and listen to what they said.
And Nigel seems really loud this morning. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. He's the announcer here. Been here for 20 years, I think.
You know, let's wait until he finishes. Go ahead.
Listen in to Nigel. Oh, they're inviting us to the hospitality tent.
I got to tell you, I am really tired this morning.
Well, you should be. You're out dancing till 1 o'clock in the morning.
I can neither confirm nor deny
you hit
that.
From what I hear, you hit downtown Lexington pretty hard last night.
You know, I never...
There's no alcohol left.
I never realized that... Yeah, so we did go out last night, and I came home from cross country, and usually I just pass out after cross country, so tired, but we had dinner reservations with Charles from Lane's End Farms. Says I wanted some Zenyatta stories. So I got actually got to go out to dinner. We had a big group go out there, and it was fun. Now, what was really fun was the after party. But what I did after cross country is I went back to the hotel and I took a power nap. And how long is a power nap, Glenn?
So it's supposed to be 20 minutes.
Okay, well, I took 6 consecutive power naps. Slept for 2 hours, got up, went to dinner, and danced until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, that's not a power nap.
Wow. Okay, that's funny. Took a 2-hour power nap. That's sleep, I think, is what they call it. So we ended up having a good time, and I got a little bit of a headache. I'm really tired of this. I'm going to go lay down.
Well, let's take a break. We have one more commercial break to take here this morning, and then we're going to come up and we're going to wrap up here from the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. I want to hear from Chad, too. I want to hear how the horse husband did in his first Rolex. We'll bring him over here. And you might not have wanted to have me spend the whole morning chatting with him yesterday while we were walking around, because I may have filled him in on some horse husband things he didn't know before.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, leave my husband alone. Stop. Play the ad. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back.
FleeceWorks FWXK technology is a comprehensive relief for the horse's top line. As most great ideas go, FleeceWorks' patented technology is quite simple. A vertical cross-elastic band that is hand-sewn into the pads. It effectively acts as a shock absorber, taking the rotational pull of the shoulder before any pressure can reach the sensitive spine and wither area. The elastic allows for saddle pads to give with the dynamic movement of the spine. To comprehensively protect your horse's spine, the solution is FWXK, and the technology is available in FleeceWorks sheepskin full and half pads. If you're at Rolex, you can see these revolutionary new pads at Bit of Britain and several other vendors, or visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
All right, we are back here at the Kentucky Rolex 3-day event. We're going to wrap up here. First, I have to ask Chad, who, Jamie's husband, of course, who made his first trip to Kentucky and first trip to Rolex, what he thought.
Well, that's a vague question.
Well, I thought I'd throw it out there for
huge
you.
Huge weekend, massive. And I'm further into the subculture. So, yeah, it's going great. It was actually a pretty nice trip.
Well, and yeah. She's had you out partying every night, too. She hasn't given you a break at all here.
No, this wasn't a relaxing vacation. No, that's a fair statement.
Now, we got to spend some time together yesterday morning as we were walking around, and I got to give you some additional pointers that you may not have known as a horse husband. So I think that you have been somewhat educated, too, in this trip.
Oh, no, there's a massive education every day with this this equine world. I am lost, but I'm having a dang good time doing it. So
well, let me ask now, what has been your favorite... Now, don't tell anything too personal. What has been your favorite part of the weekend?
That's a tough... Well, I'm not sure favorite. This is the most revealing to this culture here. Is that we're at a bar last night. Yeah, that's why we're talking about the 3-day event, and I'm now going to a bar. So we're at a bar last night, and talking to some of Jamie's friends, and we're literally at an Irish pub in Lexington, Kentucky. And the conversation immediately goes into the foaling, breeding, and whatever season of the... I'm drinking a beer in an Irish pub at midnight, and everyone's talking about birthing horses. I'm like, where am I?
Yeah, it's not the fighter pilot type bar.
Oh, that has, I'm not even worried about that. It's just awesome. Everyone is just... This entire area is just so into the... into the horse culture out here. It's fun to watch.
Well, it's been fun having you here. It's good to finally meet you for the first time after all this time. We've talked in the mornings, but never actually met. And we'll see if Jamie lets you come back. We'll have to see. Next year, if she invites you back, you know you pass.
I think that's it. I get invited or I don't.
Don't, yeah.
That's crap, because I love having him here. It was so great to be able to share this with him. I don't know if you'll ever want to come back. Like, this morning, I'm like, get up. We have to go. Get up. Get up. And he's like, seriously? I'm so tired. This is like... exhausting. This whole week is not a relaxing vacation at all.
I should have known that way before.
But you should not have started drinking beers at noon when you're walking cross country.
Oh, that probably
didn't help.
Because
about 4 o'clock, I'm having to wake him up in the grass.
It's my first trip to Kentucky Bluegrass. I got to sleep in it.
He was looking for a recliner out there yesterday, I think.
Oh, my gosh. But it is so fun. You're right. Like, blue skies, the sun that doesn't burn your skin, grass that you can roll around in and snuggle up in like a pillow.
I tell you, Chad, what you and I need to do, and I've been talking about this for years, and we really need to do it. We need to have a man tent where it's only men allowed, and we charge admission. We have TVs up there watching, you know, regular sports.
Okay.
We have big recliners and everything, beer, wine. We could make a fortune.
It'd be the cave on course.
Yes,
we'd kill out there.
We would.
Have hammocks. I'd be out.
We would.
Next to that, we'd have a tent where all the women that are newly single are going to be coming and hanging out.
You'd also make a killing there, too.
Yeah. Divorce tent. The lawyers lined up.
Hey, it's all good business, right? Good for the economy. And
yeah.
I'd get some sleep.
Funny.
Thank you to the
funny.
Clarion Hotel for providing our accommodations here this weekend. It's been great for them to put us up. And we've had, it was packed in there for breakfast this morning. Oh, my God. There were a lot of Rolex people at the Clarion this weekend.
I love it. I love that you always can spot a horse person in a hotel. I mean, anywhere.
Yeah.
It's always.
And there goes Samantha from Eventing Nation. Hi, Sammy. Good to see you.
All right, let's wrap this puppy up. It is 10:01. It's time to, we're going to the Hall of Champions.
Are you?
Yeah, we're going
to
head up
go
there.
Go say hi to Cigar. And that's it for today. We will not be back tomorrow. There will be a show. We have a recorded show for you tomorrow. We'll be back live on Tuesday because we all need a day to get home and recuperate. We'll see if Jamie even shows up on Tuesday. I think she might need more than a day. But we'll be back.
I feel
sickness
sick.
Coming on. Yeah, I thought
God,
thank you for joining us, whether you're here at the park or at home. We appreciate you being here. If you missed any part of the shows, you can catch them at horsesinthemorning.com. They're all up there for you to listen to at any time. And don't forget to subscribe through iTunes as well. Thank you, Jamie. It's been fun.
Thanks, Glenn.
And thank you, Jennifer, who's been at home making this whole thing go as we have had technical difficulties here. She's the one that has made it go. So let's give a round of applause to Jennifer.
Yay, Jennifer.
Coach Jen, thank you. And that's it. Play the music, Jennifer. I think we're going to play Will to Win from Team Freckers.
Oh, yeah, I got to go shop down there, too. Make it ring out, people.
And whenever.